Hey everybody, welcome to MatMen, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by my gobble gobble, Rich Stambolian.
Gobble gobble, everybody out there. Get your Narcans ready, because we're about to give you a hunky overdose of MatMen.
Yes, yes, we are. a very quick one today, actually. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Let's see.
Maybe I'll go an hour. Maybe we'll go a little over.
Let's check the vibe.
Are you hosting this year?
I am hosting Thanksgiving this year for about 16 people.
16.
Yeah, how about you?
I got like almost 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Everybody decided that they were going to do Thanksgiving at my house this year, which is great. I love it. I actually, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays which I absolutely love having the family around. You know what holiday I hate having the family around? Christmas.
Really?
I want to do nothing on Christmas. Christmas Eve, I host. Every year, whoever wants to come, comes. If they don't want to come, great. Even better. We just get drunk. Normally, my wife and my brothers, we just pop a bunch of edibles all day.
That sounds nice.
And things get a little weird when we're cooking. We just, at one point, we're just gorging on everything we're making. But Christmas Day, It's for the kids. I don't want to pack them up and take them to Long Island.
You know,
sit in that stupid traffic.
I love Christmas so much. It's my favorite holiday. And last year, we actually had the perfect Christmas because nobody came over because of, you know, the stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And my mom made a giant, giant breakfast for Christmas. Vicky and I had breakfast with my folks, and then we went back to our place, and guess what we did? We got wasted and watched Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, dude, you know what? I want to, was it good?
It was good.
Okay.
It was fine.
I know we're going to go into the coming attractions, the original one, made that movie seem like it's something totally different than the final product, right?
Yes, but if it was purposely shot to be like a follow-up to like Superman 2 in that 80s style, tremendous.
Yeah.
If that was the intention. But if it wasn't the intention, it's all right.
It's all right. Guys, tons of stuff to talk about. This is MatMen. We're live. We're on the F4W Twitch account. We're doing that live each and every week. Also, our YouTube account, MatMen.com.
Yes, yes.
MatMen.com. Jesus, I got to tell you, I have not ate a thing. 3 days. I'm dying here.
You should really eat something.
I'm gonna eat something right now. No, I'm gonna eat something tonight.
Do you want to turn this into one of those eating things where you just smush bread with your face?
No. we're also on our page, youtube.com/MatMenPodcast. You can go there, check it out. Subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available.
Yes, yes.
So you want to begin with last week, last Thursday after we did the show, they released more people. WWE.
Yeah. Crazy. Is this in the past year? Is this the most releases they've ever done?
I think this has to be the most. You know what this reminds me of? Do you remember that post-WCW releases that they did?
Mm.
Like, it was like that year, like after the plane ride from hell, they released a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Like, we had a couple of those. And for a number of years, we didn't get it. You know, every year there would be releases. It's just how it is.
Mm.
It's nothing against it, right?
No.
You got it. You got to cut what's not working, and this is what they do. This year has been astronomical I think MG has those final numbers.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is attributed to the fact that they hoarded talent since 2016. 100%. 2015, 2016, they started hoarding all the talent. And
because they could.
Because they could, and it also was, they wanted everybody. So Ring of Honor doesn't have them more than anything else. That was the whole thing with NXT. They took all these top guys.
Yeah.
You know, they essentially raided Ring of Honor, created NXT, had gangbuster business, went after New Japan guys, which kind of goes together with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And when AEW came into play, they said, oh, crap, we're not going to release these guys. Why would we release them and hand them to them? Because they need people to start a company. So they hung on to people even more. Pandemic happened. And the release is starting. Also, Nick Khan's running the show now.
Yeah.
So this is a very different philosophy than a wrestling promoter running a wrestling company.
Yeah. Also, if you think about it, some of this stuff is kind of like a little bit of a mind F, and it's a little bit of a bait and switch, right? Because they relied on like a lot of these guys signing when they were hoarding talent.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to work for us? Who doesn't want to live their boyhood dream or girlhood dream about working for us?
But that's always been the narrative, right? Because like, you know, anybody that wanted to be a wrestler or wants to be a wrestler or wants to be involved in pro wrestling, the end goal at the end of the day, and it still is for most, and it's going to WWE.
It's that, but also like you hear not the old timers, but like a guy like Steve Austin would always say, if you're not in this business to get the WWE title or WWF title, then you shouldn't be in the business, right? I think now the narrative is different because if I was a wrestler now, right? If I was in my 20s and I was like, yeah, I'm going to train to be a wrestler. You know what my number one belt to get would be?
What?
IWGP Championship.
You as, but yeah. See, like that, I'm wondering if that philosophy, like that, there's two different schools of right. thought, yeah, right? Yeah. Like there's that side, and then there's the other one. Like I want to be in WWE. I want to be on TV. I want to be a big star. I want to be a celebrity. I mean, that plays a big part in it. And why shouldn't it? Because it's a very dangerous job. You know, so people are asking, Nick Khan's running Raw and SmackDown. No, but he has tremendous stay. He's the CEO of the company.
Mm-hmm.
If you think the CEO does not have some say, listen, here's a great example. What you saw on Survivor Series and what you saw on Monday Night Raw is directly due to Nick Khan.
Right, right. Fascinating.
He's the guy that puts these deals together. And we'll talk about that, obviously, you know, later on in the show.
Do you want to go through who got
cut? Yeah, go ahead.
So, John Morrison.
You know, they really mishandled him.
And his wife,
they mishandled.
You know, I'm not going to say they mishandled him. I think he came out strong with the Miz stuff. It was fun while it lasted. And then he always struck me as one of those guys that's like, you know, when guys leave, and they don't end up doing like international stuff. That doesn't, for me personally as a fan, I'm like, whatever.
Oh, you like know? He left and didn't do like Japan and stuff.
And like Germany and Europe and like, you know, stuff like that.
He did a lot though. He was all around the Indies.
He was in Lucha and he was in Impact, right?
Yeah.
Top Dollar, AJ Francis.
Top Dollar, AJ Francis got released. Essentially all of them.
Yeah. Ashante Adonis, Isaiah Swerve Scott, all released. Hit Row, all released. Tegan Knox, which I found surprising. Drake Maverick. Shane Thorne and Jackson Riker.
So,
that's MG's favorite wrestler.
Jackson Riker? I know it is. Jackson Riker apparently had a lot of issues in the back. There was a lot of heat on him.
Yeah.
Same was said about Top Dollar, that people didn't like how he carried himself.
That's fascinating, too, because he was hosting a WWE show.
Top Dollar?
Yeah, he was hosting... I forgot what it was called, but it was like the Curiosity Show where he would go and get gear from
on A&E. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, cool. They're putting a lot of faith in this guy.
Yeah. I don't know. By the way, he did something tremendous. I retweeted it. He has a chair. He's been doing it for 15 years. He collects food for, you know, for essentially the homeless and people that need some food and it's for children. You can see my post there. I don't really like getting into the personnel stuff, but I had heard some stuff. But I mean, listen, you hear this stuff about everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's difficult at some time. Everybody has a different mindset.
Yeah.
You know, one day I'll tell the story about what I heard.
Yeah. Sure.
Not now. And it's not. And I don't think it's a negative on AJ.
No.
Let me just say that.
No, I
don't think it's a negative. I think it's a series of unfortunate events that played out the last couple weeks.
You can save that for our upcoming Patreon exclusive Ask Matt Men show.
Oh yeah, we should do that on the Ask Matt Men. Ask Matt Men. Dude, I'm so sorry. I'm so delirious from not eating.
Do you want me to cook you up something right now?
Do you want to cook me something?
You want me to cook you up some food? Do you want me to make some hot dogs?
Kielbasa. Can you make me some kielbasa?
I got some hot dogs in my pocket.
You got some? Oh, good. Thank you. All right. John Morrison. I don't. It's quite possibly an age thing. You know, with
you
Morrison.
You never know. He was in great shape. Guy's in great shape.
Yeah, fantastic shape.
But also, it's that, I think now in that modern landscape, I feel like WWE has to look at talent and go, well, what can you do that nobody else on this roster could do? Because everybody can kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, it's a different time,
right? Seth Rollins could do everything.
Well, everybody, I mean, Kevin Owens does lucha moves.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a different world now.
Yeah.
Drake Maverick, he was released, and they brought him back, and they released him again.
You think this is going to be like their weird trolling with him where he's
the poor guy.
They're going to bring him back again?
Just terrible timing. Tegan Knox, surprised at that because they were very high on her. Isaiah Swerve Scott, he's young. I mean, 31, 32 years old. Very talented. That one was a surprise, but I think it was a total package deal. I think whatever happened was a package deal and that's it. But he did put out a post saying that he is not going to be taking bookings with the group. Like, it seems like the rest of Top Dollar, they're going to be taking bookings together.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, I'm out.
You know, it's kind of interesting with him specifically because you could tell that he was working so hard to get that character over in NXT, and it worked. Week in, week out. And then as soon as they move up to the main roster, they were like, nope.
By the way, I think he would show up again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he would actually be there once things settle again. So those were the releases. Where do you want to go from here now? You want to go to Survivor Series and the fallout of it?
Let's do Survivor Series.
All right. So we did not do a watch along.
We did a tweet along, and it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. It was so much fun not having to watch wrestling and work.
Be watched.
And work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like sometimes I do consider the WWE pay-per-views kind of like worky, you know?
Yeah. It is work.
I don't know if you feel the same way.
No, it is work.
Where it's like, it's like the drudgery of kind of getting through them. But me personally, I ordered some tacos, I had some beers, tweeted my ass off, talked to you guys. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time.
So the show starts out with Intercontinental Champion, Intercontinental Championship match. Intercontinental Champion Shinsuke Nakamura beating United States Champion Damian Priest via DQ. This is on the pre-show. That was a fun match.
I hated it.
See, I like the Boog stuff. I don't like his guitar tone. Okay, but that's me personally.
Yeah, the tone is the problem. I hated the guitar stuff. It was so distracting. I know for a fact people in the building, they were still turned off by it. And Damian Priest got booed at the end because it was a DQ finish. Nobody really won. Nobody really lost. That guitar irritated people. Damian Priest is so impressive looking.
Yes.
Like, they got to figure, they got to be like, okay, do whatever you're doing.
He's a big poppy.
He's a big poppy. Yeah. He's a big poppy.
I think what they should do going forward is it should be Rick Boogs playing guitar, and then every so often they'll add another instrument so that at some point it's Nakamura in the ring with four different instruments outside of the ring. And anytime they do something, you just hear like some kind of like lick and a drum blast and a bass line.
I hate it.
I wouldn't mind it. Yeah, the non-title match, Raw opener. Women's Champion. This is the opener. Becky Lynch beating Charlotte Flair, 18 minutes. Honestly, best match of the night. A lot of fun. Love their outfits. Talk about the presence of the women's division on wrestling television.
Yeah, big. It was a big match, and they made it feel like a big match. The whole lead up, you know, between the personal problems between the two of them really played a part in this.
Mm-hmm.
Becky looked great. Charlotte looked great. Very good match. The finish, a lot of people did not like the finish of the roll up.
Okay.
I thought it was clever.
Clever wrestling finish.
It was a clever wrestling finish that made them both look good.
Well, also because, listen, it doesn't matter because that's a typical heel move, right? For them, it doesn't matter because they're out to get each other.
Yeah, they're out to get each other.
And so what do you think? Do you think that the whole lead up is a work? Or do you think there's some real heat going on?
No, I think there's definitely some heat going on. I don't think it was as heated as, you know, people. A lot of people were under the idea that they're just like going to gouge each other's eyes in this match. Like, it's so irresponsible WWE put them in the ring together.
Oh, whatever.
I go, guys, these are millionaires.
Yes.
Like, we're talking people that get paid a lot of money.
They're professionals.
They're professionals. Do you think they're going to blow their entire career?
Right.
For this one thing? No, they're not going to do that. Doesn't work like that.
No, I think that's funny, but it would have been great if they busted out light tubes or something.
Can you imagine?
Oh,
the pizza cutter.
Oh, so
bigger
good.
Than the pizza cutter.
Just reenact an engagement match.
Dude, there was a ton of, did you see that Pizza Hut spot?
Yes.
That may have been like an internal ha-ha at AEW.
You think so?
Yeah.
We're taking our pizza and leaving?
Yeah.
We're taking our pizza ball and going
home? It was more like a, do you want to see how you do a crossover with a partner? You know, with an advertiser, this is how you do it. I think it was more like that.
Next up, we had the Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw, Bobby Lashley, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Austin Theory, and Seth Rollins. Strong team beating Team SmackDown, Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, Happy Corbin, King Woods, with Madcap Moss on the outside. 29-minute match, Seth Rollins winning. I thought this was a fun Survivor Series match, especially with Owens just leaving in the beginning.
Yeah, so the story of this was that they didn't want to make any of the top guys look bad. So Owens left. Yeah. Drew got counted out.
Yeah.
Drew got counted out with Lashley.
Right. Which is great. I like their feud.
Like, okay. To me, this entire show seemed like, oh, crap. We need to do Survivor Series.
Yes.
But we did everything big in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
What do we do here? Nothing, because we don't have The Rock.
The big thing that everybody he's as big as an elephant. So The Rock in the room was The Rock.
I mean, listen, anybody, you could be blind and see this coming.
They wanted The Rock
so
bad.
The whole thing was set for that moment where The Rock shows up.
So bad.
You don't do... Listen, the Red Notice advertisement, that was a commitment. That was a financial commitment. They had to stick to it.
F and A, man.
Maybe Vince was a compromise here for The Rock.
Friggin'
but,
egg.
But can you imagine if the story was that The Rock shows up with the egg, the egg goes missing, and on Monday night, you find out that Vince stole the egg?
That would have been cool.
And like he possesses the power of Cleopatra, whatever the hell that egg does, because I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Okay.
I want to see
it. So can you... You could see that happening, right?
Well, you had a great theory where you were like, I bet you Vince is going to rub the egg and The Rock
the Rock's going to come out like a
gonna
genie.
Going to come out of it, you know? Which would have been awesome, you know?
You know, we'll talk about Vince too. Well, when we get to that.
So freaking weird. Anyway, Seth Rollins wins. Great. Almost won the 25-man Battle Royal, 1037. This, personally for me, this is when I started to check out.
Me too.
Yeah. Fine. Almost is huge, man. And the last person eliminated was Ricochet. Cool. Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw's is for the ladies. Team Raw, Bianca Belair, Carmella, Liv Morgan, Queen Zelina, Rhea Ripley. I like that team a lot. Beat Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks, Toni Storm, Shayna Baszler, Natalya, and Shotzi. 23 minutes and 44 seconds. This was fun. I like seeing Shotzi on the main roster.
Yeah, she's a heel, though.
Yes.
Right?
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Bianca Belair wins.
It was okay.
Non-title match, Universal Champion Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman beating the WWE Champion Big E, 21 minutes, 52 seconds. I enjoyed the match
a lot. I did too.
It's also funny, like, this is not like a size thing. It's funny seeing Big E next to Roman because Roman's like so much bigger than everybody.
Exactly. And Big E's huge.
Yeah.
And Big E's a wide guy, but Roman is so big. Dude, you look at Big E, and you could tell why he's the champion. You look at Roman, you could tell why he's the champion.
Absolutely.
21-52 they went. I thought it was a really good match. A lot of people upset that Roman beat him clean. Or as clean as possible. You know, he beat him. And I said, listen, someone's got to lose somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and to be honest, you think Roman should have lost? No. Why would Roman lose? The whole story is that he's a monster. He's the Brock Lesnar now for them.
Yes.
He's undefeated. Mm-hmm. He's been champion for over 400 days. This guy's not going to lose. And he's just going to continue winning until whoever dethrones him. And maybe they could do that. You know, maybe the guy that dethrones him is Drew McIntyre. And you get to do the proper Brock Lesnar storyline with Roman.
You think so?
I don't know. You got to do something with Drew.
You have to wrap up that Bobby Lashley feud, though.
It's going to wrap up. That's ending. Yeah.
I enjoy that. And that, you know what? That feud makes me... I've been really high on Bobby Lashley for the last year. I love that dude.
Bobby Lashley. Yeah, I know. You've been a big fan of
What if Bobby Lashley beats Roman? Would you have
Roman? Yeah, but the Bobby Lashley thing is over because Roman's on... Drew's on SmackDown. Bobby Lashley's on Survivor Raw.
Okay.
Right? Because that's over. So now you're going to see Drew move on to something else. What if it's Jeff Hardy? What if Jeff Hardy finally is the one that beats Roman?
Dude, you know what we were talking about in our little group chat? About how over Jeff Hardy was.
People love him
forever.
You know, I think it's the generation thing. Like, I appreciate the Hardys. We grew up with the Hardys. Like, we were, you know, teenagers when the Hardys came in.
But we weren't like 9 or 10.
We weren't like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And I think to those guys, you know, he's huge. He's really big.
Big dude. Yeah. Surprisingly big dude.
I hate the pants. I hate the whole outfit.
I know. Like, it's kind of funny.
I want him.
You're disgusted by Jeff Hardy.
I want all the tattoos covered.
Uh-huh.
I want the face thing off, and I want him in just, like, black trunks.
You want him to look
no
like...
knee pads. Naked knees.
What if he comes out looking like Bosch? With, like, a polo shirt, but you can see that. The tattoos.
Yeah.
And, like, slacks.
Yeah.
So, or Jeff Daddy.
Jeff Daddy.
It's funny how you're disgusted by Jeff Hardy.
Not disgusted. It just...
Bullshit. If you saw Jeff Hardy walking, if we were at a bar... And you saw a guy like Jeff Hardy walk in,
I would
you'd
go,
be
yikes.
Like, ugh, Rich, look at the, you'd elbow me.
Look at the Jeff Hardy.
Rich, look at this guy.
Look at the Jeff Hardy over there.
Look at that Jeff Hardy over there. Yeah, and then the whole peppered throughout the show.
Yeah.
WWE is really letting you know how many 25 years has passed since The Rock.
Did you know 25 years has passed?
At Madison Square Garden. At Survivor Series, they're showing him as Rocky Maivia, Flex Kavanaugh, whatever it was. And then the promos during the whole time, if you smell, once in a lifetime, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. This guy is nowhere to be found. Not even a satellite message.
The opening video package for Survivor Series was about The Rock.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Now, question for you.
Yes.
Did it leave you wanting more, or did it fail as a like such a dud where you're like, I don't even care if The Rock shows up anymore?
You know, like, I don't know any company. Like, WWE didn't tell any. First of all, Rock was not going to be there, right? As of July or September, whatever it was. But the plan was to try to get him there. It was happening.
Yeah.
You look at the show. How do you not tell that The Rock was going to be there at one point? Early on or whatever, it doesn't matter. It didn't happen. But I don't know any other company that would, and I'm not saying this negatively, right? Like, I'm just like, those people in the audience, many of them, they don't read wrestling stories. They don't go online and
read.
Like, a lot, most of those people just go to shows. They go with their family, they go with their friends, they're watching wrestling, maybe they read a little bit, but when you're presenting The Rock, The Rock, The Rock, The Rock, The Rock, the whole night.
And no Rock.
The entire building was waiting for him to pop out.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were very disappointed.
We also missed RK-Bro versus the Usos. Very quick match.
Oh, yeah, very quick match. Yeah. Okay.
I really do like that weird tag team now.
Oh, me too. I'm into them.
And
especially on Monday. They look great on Monday.
Randy had that crazy distinction on Sunday, right? The most pay-per-view matches out of any WWE superstar of all time, which is insane.
Well, he's been there since 2003 in the main roster.
Relatively healthy. Very snaky.
Very snaky.
Very, I think maybe that's it.
Slithery.
I do like what they did on Monday with Riddle coming out as Matt Hardy.
That was cool.
Matt Hardy.
I would love to see him as Matt Hardy.
As Randy Orton.
Yeah.
So that's it for Survivor Series. But again, do you care? Like, if The Rock showed up on Thursday, would you be like, oh my God, he's here? Or would you, on Friday, would you be like, you know what?
On Friday?
You should have done it on Sunday.
Yeah, it would be like, you should have done it on Sunday.
We don't want you.
Go away.
Go away, The Rock. Do you want to go right into Raw?
Let's go. Yeah.
So the show opened with prefacing this. Vince McMahon had the Cleopatra egg or whatever the F it's
my
called.
Egg. My egg.
I'm the Eggman. Coo-coo-ca-choo. So he had the egg. It got stolen. He's like, who stole the egg? Who stole the egg? That one storyline carried over onto Monday, where Ross starts with a sad and upset Vince McMahon sitting in front of Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville saying, where's the egg? Where's the egg? Who took the egg? Who took the egg? Blah, 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 blah. The egg, the egg, the egg. What a wacky opener. I understand it's a cross promotion and they probably got paid well for it, but as a person, as a wrestling analyst or the new host of Wrestling Observer Live on Sundays or Andrew Zarian or whatever, right?
Yeah.
As a person.
Yeah.
If you watch this and you saw the egg and whatever was surrounding it, would you turn around and go, yo, you know what? This egg makes me want to watch Red Notice.
No.
Right.
It didn't.
Normal reaction.
It didn't. Can I tell you how many people thought that The Rock may show up on Monday?
Yeah.
And I got those messages?
Nope.
I'm like, he's not showing up.
Another question for you. This is for me. First time, long time. Do you think The Rock feels the same way about Brooklyn as you
do? Yes, he hates Brooklyn. No, he loves Brooklyn. The Rock loves Brooklyn. He's very into Brooklyn.
Do you think The Rock got stuck in traffic on the BQE?
Listen, it happens.
Couldn't get off of Tillery Street. He's just like,
hell with this. And he just turned the car around, went back to JFK. Fantastic. Monday Night Raw was not great. The stupid egg took over.
Yeah, the egg took over.
Vince said that whoever brings him the egg gets a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
Then he threatened Sonya and Adam Pearce with a firing. Tag team champion Matt Riddle with Randy Orton defeated Dolph Ziggler. I thought this was a good match. I actually did not mind this match. You know, isn't Dolph Ziggler the epitome of a pro wrestler now? He's got the tan. He has the tights. He's like what we see as like a wrestler.
Is Dolph Ziggler Barry Horowitz?
At this point.
Ah,
poor guy, man.
Or the Brawler. Like, tenured, never going anywhere.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go. Why would
lifer.
He go? Yeah, he's
doesn't matter if he wins or loses. Doesn't matter what he does, technically. Doesn't matter what his gimmick is. You know, like, do you think they'll ever give him another chance?
At the title? No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
What's the difference between Dolph Ziggler, who's been there for ages, and Jeff Hardy, who gets, like, the pop of pops?
Jeff Hardy was a way bigger star.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff was a way bigger star. Dolph had his moments, but I think for Dolph, his problem was he came in the wrong time.
Okay.
You know, like, he was really, like, buried by many people.
Yes.
They didn't like his style, even though he was so good. Remember, they would tell him to slow it down, and he was in that transition period between, they would think he worked like an indie style, right, but he really didn't. I don't know, he had some really unfair assessment of his abilities.
What was first, Spirit Squad or the Caddy thing?
Spirit Squad. So no, Caddy was... Huh, that's a good question. Caddy was two... Whose Caddy was he?
Chavo.
Chavo's Caddy? So that would have been 2006.
So Spirit Squad first, then Caddy, then...
I think? Can't remember.
And then Dolph Ziggler. Is he the... This is another question for you. I have a lot of questions for you. Do you think he's the prototypical example of a guy that they really like who, by design, will not get over? Because that's been a thing, right? We don't want these guys to get too over.
Yeah, I think he has been purposely kept in the level that he is.
Interesting.
I think that's always been a thing. You know, that's the thing. Like, when you box these guys in like this, mm-hmm. you end up not caring about a match. Like, great example, people really were invested in Miro and Danielson, right?
Yeah.
We've seen that match happen in WWE like 10 times. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been excitement to this level with that match? Like, if you put that match on a pay-per-view, on like a WWE pay-per-view, you would say like, oh, it should be a good match. It should be an okay match. But people were very invested
yes.
in watching this for the wrestling. And I think, again, it has nothing to do with WWE. It has more to do with the way that people are presented on television versus just being another guy.
I'll agree with half of that. My big argument with that statement is Cesaro. Because Cesaro, at one point, was so over with the crowd that they could have just put the belt on him.
Yeah, and then what happened?
They took it away from him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think that's just like that weird thing where it's like, I think that's the one of the big differences, obviously, between, you know, the wrestling presentation of WWE and the pro wrestling of AEW. Is clearly AEW is giving the fans what they want, but they'll throw in that pro wrestling here and there. You know, you get those screw finishes that'll piss people off, etc. WWE will be like, well, the fans really want Cesaro to be champion. Let's put the belt on somebody else.
Yeah. You swerve them just to swerve.
It's not even a swerve. It's just like the Zack Ryder thing is a good example too. Zack Ryder got so over with the crowd, and then what happened? He gets thrown off the stage by Kane in a wheelchair.
Oh my God, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? He got so over that they threw him off a stage and the whole program went to John Cena and he got cuckolded by John Cena.
Ridiculous.
Right? Didn't he make out with Eva?
I don't remember that. I remember Kane going off that stage. Not Kane. Zack Ryder. So Riddle beats Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Next you have that Seth Rollins Finn Balor segment.
Oh my God.
Which, listen, that was great. I liked that feud. But the real insaneness is Rollins headed up the ramp.
Okay.
He's ready to go home. He's ready to kiss his wife, go home, ready to give the nucks to Michael P.S. Hayes and go to the back.
Do.
Boom. All of a sudden, this effing maniac charges at him.
No, but he's a maniac.
Yeah, he's a maniac. This guy's nuts.
He's not well.
This guy from Brooklyn charges at Seth, tackles him. Seth gets him in like a weird choke and starts like kind of kicking him in the head. The refs mush the guy, get him off. They body him. Get him off the guy. Blah, blah, blah. If you didn't see it, it's great. Look it up. So this dude, apparently, he's a Brooklynite. He's in his 20s. I'm not going to say his name on the air, but it's out there. This dude was apparently catfished by a fake Seth Rollins.
Okay. Did you see his video?
Yes, I saw the video.
There's something wrong with him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You could tell that there's something wrong with him.
He did it for Rikishi.
He thinks that he uses the name Fatu. He thinks he's Samoan. He bum rushed him and really, I mean, just knocked the shit out of Seth. And Seth did the right thing. He tried to put him in a guillotine.
Yeah.
To take him down to kind of control it. Seth was, you know, kind of in control this whole time. But the dude had his hair and I mean,
that should not happen.
How does that happen?
He also has an Instagram video out where he talks through what he was going to do.
What does he say?
He was in an area where there was like an open barricade and he was like, yo, this is the perfect spot. This is the perfect spot. I'm going to go. I'm going to knock that guy out. And there's one security guard there.
Yeah, it's a blind spot that they have.
That weird blind spot by the stage. I can't believe that happened. Number one. Number two, yo, don't do that shit. And number three, if you see somebody running at you like that, that's why you got to practice uppercuts. Just bow.
Yeah.
Bow, bow. That's it. Knock them out. How insane.
Really? I mean, that's crazy. Mm. And listen, I've been saying this for a while. Most people that you meet on a day-to-day basis, okay?
Yeah.
They only have about 8 to 9 hours of self-control in them.
You always say that.
After that, the crazy will come out. It happens. I have seen rational human beings melt down mentally in front of my eyes.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Because we have gone over their personal threshold.
That threshold, yeah. I want to. Sometimes I'll say even lower. I'll say 3 good hours.
3 good hours. You could just get your shit together. So this guy, like you were saying, he was catfish, and he's like been chatting with like a fake Seth Rollins.
Oh boy.
Online.
And gave him money.
Oh, is that what he did? He gave him money?
Apparently he gave this dude hundreds of dollars and wanted his money back. And then he was like, nah. And he's like, well, I'll see you at Raw.
I'll see you at Raw. And he's like, all right.
Which is nuts, dude. I also want you to give that speech, but like Vin Diesel from Fast and the Furious, where you're like, most people have.
My father's going to give that speech, by the way.
I'm going to give that speech tomorrow.
He's going to give it tomorrow. He gives it every year.
I'm going to give that speech tomorrow, and it's going to go over everybody's head.
It's the quarter mile at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to live your life a quarter mile at a time. My father, I swear to God, says this every Thanksgiving since that movie came out.
Can you record him doing it?
And he doesn't do it ironically.
So genuine.
He's very genuine. Fred is very genuine with this.
Verbally.
But he also thinks that Booker T is Booger T, which is fantastic. And everybody's Guyanese, according to him.
Somebody else got kicked out of the arena for attacking, for doing something else.
Montez.
Yeah. Stay in your seats.
No, but I also think, you know, people don't know how to behave anymore. Look what's happening on the airlines. Everybody's losing their goddamn minds.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, he got catfished, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But this is not the first time this has happened.
No.
You know, he said that apparently there was somebody that showed up at his house years ago. He did an interview on Hot 97 in 2019.
Yeah.
Accepted. And he was talking about how this woman showed up at his house claiming that they've been in a relationship.
Oh.
And she was like being catfished in like Google Hangouts by somebody.
Yeah, that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
It's nuts. So anyway, you got AJ Styles almost beating the Street Profits via DQ. Carmella Quintanilla beating Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley to win the Women's Tag Team Championships. I really like what they're doing with Carmella.
Oh, that creepy mask.
I like the sexy lingerie with that weirdo mask that she wears the ring. It works for her.
It works.
It's nuts. That's cool that Zelina wins the title in New York.
Yeah, that was great.
Dana Brooke, new 24/7 champ.
Beat Cedric.
Fun. Beat Cedric. Great. Who beat Reggie? Damian Priest beat Sami Zayn to retain the U.S. Championship. Big E beat Austin Theory to retain the WWE Championship.
So, Austin Theory found the egg?
Yeah. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins both get involved. Where is this leading?
I think you're going into maybe like a three-way for the title.
So freaking weird, man.
Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Big E in that day one pay-per-view. I think that's great.
How do you feel about Austin Theory in the title picture?
I used to be very high on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he's now... I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with him.
Wow.
He doesn't do much for me. But I am interested to see the Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins thing. Also, little insight here, courtesy of Fightful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's going on with Johnny Gargano's contract?
I do not.
I think he's 2 days away from his contract ending, right? So right now.
Huh. He should handshake it.
So 2 days before War Games, his contract ends. They've agreed to a 1 week extension.
Okay.
So his contract originally ended, I believe, on the 3rd and now going to the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
I think Johnny stays.
You think Johnny stays?
Pregnant wife. Still under contract.
You know, like, what would he, you know what? Maybe he should stay.
I would say another year. Throw another year on there.
You know, what's best for you? You know, what's best for you? Yeah. That's what you got to think. It's not about what we want as fans or where we want to see you go. Where are you going to get? Is he going to do so much better in AEW? You know?
But again,
he lives in Orlando. He wrestles in Orlando. I mean,
it's beginning to get like a little too close to very saturated with like, oh, this guy should go to AEW. This guy should go to AEW. This guy should go to AEW. What happens to like everybody else who was signed to that roster? if they decide to sign all these other people, you know, like what happens to
not everybody should go to AEW.
Right.
I mean, the reality is it's a shame that somebody else doesn't have a couple bucks,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It really is. But that's always been the case.
The case with wrestling. Yeah. Right? That's always been the case. There's always one or two guys. We're almost back to like 2000 and well, I guess like 1999, 1998 levels of competition out there. You got two major companies and you got a bunch of little guys.
Is GCW the new ECW?
I don't know. I gotta see where they go. I think there's tons of hype. By the way, they're running the Hammerstein Ballroom. There's about 800 tickets left for the Hammerstein.
Are we going to that show?
We could go. You want to go?
Maybe.
I don't want to inhale mercury.
Like Joey Mercury.
Like Joey Mercury, yeah.
You mean the lead paint?
I don't want to inhale the lead paint they use to like carve each other up.
Let's just wear a lucha mask the whole time. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll talk about that. Maybe that's a nice discussion for maybe a little bit later. Let's see. Other news. Kenny Omega officially relinquishes the AAA mega title. He's going to be out for a while, guys.
He's banged up.
He is very banged up. He has a hernia. He needs to get repaired. He has bad shoulders. He's really banged up. And I think this is a perfect timing for him.
Absolutely.
Holidays are here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have a major pay-per-view coming up till February. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll make that February pay-per-view.
No. You know what I wouldn't mind just to keep him on TV?
Yeah.
Commentary.
Yeah, you keep him on TV. He's around. Maybe he could do something. I actually think he should go away for a little bit. Totally go away.
And come back like Triple H jacked.
Come back like Triple H jacked, yeah.
Conan also said that there will be a rematch between him and Hijo del Vikingo.
Okay, cool. Conan said that?
Yeah, because I think that was supposed to happen. That was going to be the match.
Yeah, but now it's like a five-way?
Yeah.
I think he made it into like a five-way. Scotty Too Hotty has asked for his release from WWE in the most passive-aggressive way. He made an Instagram post stating that he's asking for his release, and I'm not knocking him at all. Good for him.
Right.
He said, "Listen, I never compromise who I am. I said I'll never, and I'm filling in the blanks here, right? You could read the post.
Yeah.
But he said, like, listen, I don't want to do something just for the money, and I felt that I was doing it just for the money at this point, and I'm gone. See you later.
Cool.
He wants to go.
All right.
Good for him.
Sky too. I have a buddy who has
loves him.
Who messaged me yesterday and said. I thought Scotty Too Hotty was dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I was like, no, he's been training in NXT. He's like, oh, all right.
Does he think Crash Holly? Maybe he thought Crash Holly.
I think he was thinking of the other guy.
Oh, Brian Christopher. Yeah, yeah, got it.
So, this is your favorite part of the show.
Yeah. Numbers. AEW Rampage, 556 rating. Viewership. Not great, but they're sitting at that 500 mark. Dude, this is what it is. It's a Friday night.
Yeah.
It's a Friday night. Nobody watch, like, I don't watch Rampage Live, do you?
Dude, I'm asleep.
You're asleep.
I'm asleep.
10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock on a Friday. I'm asleep.
I'm drunkenly passing out at that point.
What did I do last Friday night? Last Friday, I was in bed at 9:30.
I don't remember last Friday.
Yeah.
Whenever. I don't watch it. I don't watch it live. I don't know anybody that watches live, to be honest. Because
Mr. Gonzo.
Mr. Gonzo probably does. But, like.
Yeah, he's a party animal, though. Gets very violent when he drinks.
Oh, yeah. You were with him. He was in your room.
Dude, he, you know.
Breaks the glass and starts going like this. He tried to cut up Dave Meltzer.
It was weird. Yeah.
He's like, Dave, come here. I want to show you something. And he took the bottle and just slammed it on his head. And he was like this to Dave.
He tried to glass him. Like, when we were in his hotel, he got so mad. And we were like, all right, we're going to go to bed. And he's like, what do you mean you want to go to bed? Nobody goes to bed. And then he punched a hole straight through his hotel wall.
Oh, he's sick. He's
into
sick
the
guy.
Next room.
He's crazy. What
he
do you
had
want?
To pay the hotel like $3,000 in damages.
And guess who the room was under? Me.
Yeah, of course. Andrew. He was like, yo, Andrew will pay for it. F this place.
Yeah.
He ripped a TV off the wall. He took a piss on the paintings.
Terrible.
He left a little surprise in one of the
double decker.
He upper decked it.
He upper decked it. There you go.
And then he upper decked your bathroom.
Yeah, crazy guy.
While you were hosting
the show.
The show.
He's a sick guy.
God, though, man. You got to relax. Stop drinking.
Dave, thank God, he has those big biceps. He just put him to sleep. He's like, come here. He's like, come here. Because you got to kiss his bicep when you see him.
That's true.
He's like, come here. And just squeezed his head and just put him to sleep. He goes, situation is solved.
And if Dave really likes you, he makes you kiss two biceps.
Two biceps. Yeah. Like Europeans do. European kisses his arms.
Anyway.
By the way, I don't want people to get confused. All this that I'm saying is 100% true. All right? I don't want you to think for a second this is make-believe.
That was the unreality segment of the show. I hate the fact that we have to say that. Now.
No. It's true. It is 100% true. Don't listen to Rich.
I hate the fact that we have to say that. I also hate the fact that, like, I made a tweet on Sunday night saying, yeah, we heard that Big E, people want to, we heard that the backstage news that WWE is changing Big E's gimmick to that of a badass biker, and they're going to call him Big Evil.
And people believe it.
And folks were like, yo, WWE sucks. This sucks, man. I can't believe this is happening.
Did you have to put out a thing saying like, hey guys, I'm joking?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I didn't. I just made like little coy stuff, but you know.
Yeah. Let's see. Darby Allin defeated Billy Gunn. Dude, Billy Gunn. I did see this.
20 feet tall.
Well, I did see this live because I was like, I had just gotten home. He's 20. You know what he is? He's the Colossus of Rhodes.
Billy Gunn is Paul Bunyan at this point.
He is 80 feet tall. He is so jacked. He's what, 60?
It's close to it.
Right? I think he's close to it. How old is Billy Gunn?
I want to say he's 56.
No, I think he's older, dude.
No.
Bill Gunn does not come
Bill
up.
Gunn. Is that what you call him? His first name basis? You're like, hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill. He's 58 years old.
58 years old. Jerry Lynn's 59, which blows my mind.
I mean, he is remarkable. And he moves great. And he's... he's one of those guys... When he was like the one Billy Gunn, they really wanted him to work.
Yeah, dude.
That was the plan.
He won
King of the Ring. It was supposed to work. And I think that feud with The Rock kind of ruined it. He's the ass man. Dan Housen calling them ass boys.
So good.
Is so freaking good on Twitter. I want to get him on. I want to get Dan Housen on.
Oh, you've come around to the Dan
Housen. I have totally, and I will tell him personally, I've come around totally to Dan Housen.
I think he's a local guy.
Is he?
You can get him into the studio. I don't know if that's true.
He's like, I love that he's like this bizarro Phantom of the Opera. He's all about evil and mischief.
It's great.
Love it.
You had the TBS tournament quarterfinal.
The ass boys.
The ass boys. So good. TBS tournament quarterfinal. Jade Cargo with Smart Mark Sterling defeat Red Velvet. Great. Jurassic Express beat Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. That was fun.
Okay. Can I tell you, I absolutely love Adam Cole and Bobby Fish together.
Chemistry.
I'm almost heartbroken that they're going to turn on him. You know?
You think so?
Yeah, because they left him in the ring. Second time they did this, right? They just left him out to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I very much like Bobby Fish being there, and there's like this element to that crew now.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Very good. Winter's coming, set for December 15th.
Great.
Dynamite special. Then we also have the Battle of the Belts in January, followed by Revolution.
Battle of the Babes.
Battle of the Babes.
Do you want to jump into NXT?
Yeah. It wasn't a bad... I like this week's NXT.
It was all right. I struggled to keep my attention, or I struggled to pay attention to it. Tomas Ciampa beat Grayson Waller in a non-title match. A hair challenge is issued for NXT War Games.
Okay.
You had with Cameron Grimes. I think they're going to shave Cameron Grimes' head bald.
Cameron Grimes?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to see that.
Santos Escobar beat Malik Blade.
Okay.
Cora Jade beat Mandy Rose in a non-title match with Kaylee Ray causing the distraction, who joins EO's War Games team. Ivy Nile with Diamond Mine beat Ulyssa Leon. That was cool. Ivy Nile, I feel like, has a big upside if they keep her.
If they keep, okay.
Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs beat Grizzled Young Vets, James Drake and Zach Gibson. NXT North American Champion Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams beat Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano in a triple match to retain the title. And the show ends with a giant War Games teaser with Bron Breakker showing up and just yelling War Games.
War Games!
Yeah, pretty much. That's what he did. That's a good Bron Breakker impression.
So you have now set up the car for December 5th.
Yeah.
Men's War Game match. Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight. NXT 1.0, I guess that's what they're calling it.
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. You got versus Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, Tony
Dianne.
Dude, I haven't ate. You know what? This is a great case study.
You know what?
What happens to your brain?
I got something in my pocket.
Oh, what do you have? You got a Nutri-Grain bar for me? I know you got some snacks in there.
Go. Do you want to take that one more time?
No. You could do it.
Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Tony D'Angelo is really leaning into that Sopranos gimmick, huh? Dude, you got a couple of shysters over here.
Is that what he called them? Called them shysters?
Yeah, he said shyster. I guess you can get away with it because of Irwin R. Shyster. Right?
Is shyster Italian?
No.
It's Yiddish, is it not?
Right, right. But I do think like he's closing in on that, like Tony
Soprano.
Well,
it's New York. Like, I think he's doing like the whole New York thing, because we mix a lot of like agita. We say agita a lot.
Which we do say agita.
I say agita all the time. Or I say fakakta.
Yes.
Constantly I'll use fakakta. Oh, that fakakta chair, the fakakta this. That's Yiddish.
Schwitz.
Schwitz.
Yeah.
I'm going for a schwitz.
Yeah, I'm going for I love a good schwitz.
I love a good schwitz too.
So good. Women's, do you want to go to a weird Russian bathhouse at some point?
They beat you with the freaking things.
I'm not a fan of that. I went with, can I do a little aside?
Yeah.
I worked for this company years ago, and they're all Russian. And they, one year they were like, we'll take you to the bathhouse. And I was like, what's up with the bathhouse? And they're like, well, we pay them X amount of money. We can hang out there all day. And there's beer. They're cool. So I go, buddy of mine, Adam, yeah. friend of the show, Adam Mish. Friend of a fan of the show, Noah Mish.
Noah Mish, yeah.
Adam's there. I worked with Adam at the time. We're sitting in the room. It's like a bunch of men in their underwears with towels or whatever. The
underwears.
And then the two bosses are like, yo, Rich, do you want us to hit you with the eucalyptus? And I was like, I think I'll pass. Thank you very much. Yo, Adam, this was almost like a softcore porn.
it's very graphic.
Adam's on his belly, and these two grown Russian men are just like swinging wet eucalyptus in a 100-degree room.
Yeah.
And I was looking at this, and I was like, Adam, I love you. I'm getting out of here. And I just went to the empty yurt and just sat there for like a half an hour.
Oh my God. Jill Pearl, as your local Jew, I could confirm Shyster is a Yiddish term. Yes. I grew up in a very Jewish neighborhood with Adam Mish and Noah Mish.
Yeah. Joel, do you speak Yiddish and or Hebrew? I want to know that.
Didn't Noah go up to one of the girls and say something in Hebrew, and then he totally like messed up? He shouldn't have said what he said. And he's like, I screwed up. I said the wrong thing.
Can we tell that story?
You know what? We'll save it for like a Ask Matt. I think that's a fantastic story. I never saw it happen. You told me and I died.
It's a great story. All right. Women's War Games match. Randy Rose, Gigi Dolin, JC Jane, and Dakota Kai versus Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez, Cora Jade, and Kaylee Ray. That's going to be fun. How do you feel about Toxic Addiction?
I'm into them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very much into them. They've done really good with that crew.
I got a weird question for you.
Yeah.
Is Mandy Rose the last quote unquote babe in wrestling?
No, because Eva Marie had the same gimmick, you know? Like they'll always have that, like the glam, like the glammed up look.
Now, when I say babe, I mean like that typical 90s style.
Oh, like the 90s? Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I was thinking
you know what?
It's
a fitness model thing.
Yes.
That's what it all derives from that. Because like the big comparison between Trish and her was the fact that they were both tremendous fitness models.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, the babe.
I mean, they were,
but I'm saying like the babe thing.
Yeah.
All right. Hair versus hair match. Cameron Grimes versus Duke Hudson. Great.
When did they do a gimmick, their edgy gimmick, where like somebody has like an OnlyFans, but it's not like an OnlyFans? Okay. I'm telling you. Not that I've been told this.
Mm.
I just feel like that they're dying to do that. Like, oh, you know what? What if like we have someone that has like almost like an OnlyFans? But we don't call it an OnlyFans. We say like, hey, sign up for my like whatever site, and they make their own site and you could like give, you know, tip them or something.
Yeah.
For their photo. I'm telling you. That has to be in play.
I kind of got that feeling with that tennis chick that they did a terrible vignette for yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was like it was almost like an Andy Bella impression.
Oh God.
Yeah, exactly. You have the NXT Championship NXT Tag Team Championship match with Marcel Barthel, Fabian Aichner.
Versus... Oh, you know what? Scarlett. People are saying Scarlett. People are saying Carmella.
I disagree with the Scarlett thing. Maybe Carmella.
But she's spooky.
Is she spooky? Versus Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner or Yagata Del Fantasma. I like Von Wagner.
Yeah, I'm into Von Wagner.
Dude looks nuts.
Yeah. All right. And that was NXT. That's War Games on the 5th. Let's do our questions. Guys, submit your questions in the chat. If you're on Twitch, submit them there. If you're on YouTube, submit them there. What do we have queued up?
It's actually Tiffany Stratton. That's who the tennis vignette was. That was an awful, awful vignette. By the way, you got to watch it.
I got to see it. I got to see how terrible it is.
Guys, we're going to do some questions. We have a lot to go through. We're here. We're chilling. If you want to super chat us, get your questions answered ahead of time before everybody, you'll get moved to the front of the line. Feel free to super chat us on the YouTube.
All right. What do we have?
Are we ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. I'm going to do this VMix social thing.
Okay.
And we do have a super chat from Joel Wood. And here it is. When you have the biggest roster you've ever had, you're bound to eventually release more people than you've ever released.
Yes.
Smart.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what's happening is they're realizing that. Why do we, is it fair to hoard talent that you're not using? And by the way, a lot of these names that you saw released,
yeah,
had wanted to go.
Yeah.
I get firings are terrible, releases are terrible, but some of these guys, like and women, they wanted to go to do more. You know, they really wanted to. You know what I find funny? The Marina release in NXT, because she was originally supposed to be part of Diamond Mine.
Right.
With Roddy. They're married. So I was very curious about that. But sometimes people want to be released. You know, sometimes it's an unfortunate situation that they let go. But, you know, when you're this big of a company and you're not using these guys, why are you keeping them?
Very strange. Is.
And I'm not talking about the big names. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about like John Morrison being released. You know, he's a very talented guy. And I don't know what they were paying him. I don't know if that comes into play or what. But. You know, Morrison getting released is a little bit different than, you know, somebody lower on that totem pole.
Yeah. Is Dijak still there?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love that dude. Ready for the next one?
Yep.
Why do you think? What do you think about the Brian Cage situation in AEW?
So, did you see the latest?
I did not.
His wife went on a rant and said, you know, when the hell are you going to use him right? Brian Cage feels that he's being misused.
Mm-hmm.
You could position him in a better way, for sure. I mean, he might be the first disgruntled guy to leave that company.
You think so?
Yeah, he's been pretty vocal about how unhappy he is in his positioning. And I kind of agree with that. You know, he has this monster look. Mm-hmm. I know he doesn't really, like, he's not, like, I see him as a major player because of how he looks and how he works. He's very agile and he moves phenomenal.
I disagree with that.
Okay, tell me.
I like that he's super agile and he's a phenomenal worker. He looks great. He looks amazing. I think he's got the personality of toothpaste.
But you think that's the problem?
I think that's the problem.
You think it's the character?
I think it's the character. Like whatever internal charm that this guy must have. And I've heard him on interviews.
He's fantastic.
He's a charming guy. I think the presentation on TV, he's better than stepping into a frame and going, who better?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, maybe that's his problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, that's possibly his issue here where, you know, he feels that he could give more and he's not giving it.
Because he was a big part of that, right? Like that initial, like, oh, cool, they signed Brian Cage.
Because he's a get. You look at this guy and you're like, this guy is a get for
total
anybody.
Get. Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I hope that, you know, they do something with him.
All right. Next up, we got Chuck here, Charles LePage. How will AEW Dynamite respond to the WWE Raw egg storyline, which almost certainly caused the ratings to skyrocket?
Well, they're also doing an egg storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, just going to be eggs everywhere. Well, I expect tonight's Dynamite to do not so great in the ratings, in the viewership, because it's the night before Thanksgiving.
The biggest drinking night on the planet.
The biggest drinking night on the planet. When's the last time you went out on Thanksgiving Eve to go drinking?
It's like 6 years ago, maybe.
You dated 6 years ago?
Maybe more. No, you know what? More. It was more than that. My brother was in town, and we went to Sheehan's.
I went to
my
Sheehan's.
My buddy was bartending.
I went to Sheehan's with you 1 year.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was great. That was a lot of fun. I love that bar.
That was when my buddy Frank was bartending there, and his birthday, I think it's today. I got to wish him a happy birthday, Frank. He did Franksgiving. Where he bartend the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, is he doing it tonight?
I don't know. He hasn't bartended there in years, dude.
I used to go there when I was in high school as a senior on Sundays because they used to allow you to underage drink.
Oh, yeah.
And all our teachers used to be there because that was their hangout.
Yeah.
So the entire social studies department would be hanging out there. So we'd be drinking with them. And some of them had a little bit of, you know, a little touchy feely with some of the students and maybe got fired. I don't know. But listen, all in fun.
Were you one of them?
I was.
Were you one of them?
Yeah.
Were you the guy who?
I told you that story about my ninth grade social studies teacher.
Were you the guy who banged his babysitter when you were 12 years old?
I never had a babysitter. I would get back rubs by my ninth grade English social studies teacher.
Oh boy! All right, let's go to the next question. This one's from the positive one.
Yeah.
Justin Drummond, what do you think was the strategy of teasing The Rock for 4 hours when you weren't gonna deliver The Rock?
God damn it, pal! We gotta stick to the
for
plan.
For WWE, I'm edging the crowd.
I'm edging. We're gonna edge the crowd for 4 hours.
And here's Edge.
Oh, talking about Edge. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, sure.
Can I tell you something?
Go for it.
I got to double confirm, but I think he's coming back like next week.
Here?
Yeah.
He's in studio?
He edged the crowd.
He's a local guy, right?
Edge. He lives, yeah, down the block. He's in Bayside. He lives on top of Bourbon Street. He's in one of his apartments. I think Edge is returning next week. I think.
Okay.
I think. Don't quote me on that. Someone could confirm that for me.
That's cool. I'm not going to throw this one on the social, but it's a question.
Is it rude?
What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish? No, it's fun.
Oh, okay.
That's from Lars23.
The turkey and the stuffing.
The turkey and the stuffing.
I make a fantastic turkey. I'm making two turkeys.
What kind of turkeys are you making?
I'm making one like a traditional turkey in the oven, and I'm making one on the grill.
Oh, yeah.
I'm making one on the grill.
Are you going to like butterfly the turkey?
Yeah, butterfly. What do they call smash cock?
Yeah, you were like, I got to make a smash cock.
Is that what it's called, a smash cock?
I don't know. I don't know if that's what it's called. This is from Martin. Do you know the names? Do you know any names that could possibly wrestle at WrestleMania next year aside from Cena, Edge, or Lesnar?
Uh-oh, like big surprise names?
Yeah.
Cena, Edge, Lesnar. Who else is there? You know, like, do they have Austin be the host?
It's Texas.
Okay, so do they have Austin become the host of it?
Texas guys. JBL, Austin, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker.
So expect, you know, at least some of
Terry
them.
Funk. Terry Funk's last match.
No, poor guy. He's not doing well. Terry, poor guy.
All right.
I had heard that they really wanted, like, they were trying to get Austin to host, but that was, like, months ago. Okay. I have no idea. And I never heard anything after that.
What if it's Austin's last match?
You know, I would have loved to see that. I'm shocked we never got it. And that says what a strong-willed man he is.
Yes.
Because that's on him.
Yeah.
And he said, I think they opened that door multiple times for him in the past.
What if it was him versus Roman? Come here, you son of a bitch. Come here. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
This is from FF Beer Money. Can I curse?
Yeah, why not?
I'm FF Beer Money. I wish the FF stood for fuck fuck.
I think it does.
For Andrew, I have to ask, was the Egg Netflix sponsorship, did Netflix make a good return on investment on whatever they paid WWE for the product placement? Did WWE generate that many more eyes on the movie?
I mean, I'll tell you this. Does it even matter? It's the most watched Netflix movie of all time. It broke every record possible. It was the most profitable Netflix associated production that they've had. I don't think it matters at this point. I don't even know if they have the metrics to determine what the ROI on that would be, because how do you measure that, right? Like, do you measure it based on like how many new subscribers you got to Netflix? The entire world is subscribed to Netflix. I think it was a nice promotion for them. They did make money from this. It was 100% of Netflix sponsorship. That show was filled with sponsorships.
Survivor
between
Series.
The Pizza Hut spot, the pizza spot, and that. I mean, they made. There and listen, is. Guys, this is Nick Khan being amazing at his job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's howling out there?
I don't know. I think my daughter's screaming at my son. Are you freaking kidding me?
Is it
you hear her? Are you freaking kidding me?
All right, so you want to do some more questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
This one's from Yash Vardhan. I hope I said that right. Do you think Monday Night Raw will ever hit 2 million viewers again?
Yeah, I think that's very realistic.
Ooh, okay, we got another super chat here.
Yeah.
This is from, we're doing like a new chat, guys. So like if you super chat us, we'll put you to the top. We're figuring out how to do that with the new chat platform we're using, where you're seeing your questions on the screen, which is pretty cool. This is from Mark L. 999. Thank you very much, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving from Texas to my two dads.
Yeah, high five.
See y'all at WrestleMania. Fingers crossed. Listen, we're very proud of you, and we love you very much.
Yes.
Keep doing what you're doing, kid.
Good job, my son. My boy.
Let's see. Drew Nicholas asks, what is LA Knight doing on the 1.0 team and not Kyle O'Reilly?
It's a great question.
It is a great question.
They decided that that's the team. I don't know. Beyond that, he's fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Who knows? Let's see. This is one from Brandon Georgoulakis, Greek man. Local Greek man. How do you see the move to TBS affecting Dynamite in terms of ratings and or on-screen content?
So, rating, I would not expect the ratings to be in the... unless they do something big on that first show and it pops the number tremendously, right? I mean, they could also do that and the number will be higher than what it was. Uh-huh. But there will always be some sort of fall off when you change stations. With that said, the West Coast feed is going back to the West Coast feed.
Okay.
So you're going to gain a little bit there also with your viewership. So I don't know. Maybe it's going to balance out. I think the stations are fairly the same. They may have a better lead-in on TBS.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Whatever that lead-in is. So they may maybe do a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to fall off the cliff. Let me just say that.
No. I think this is going to be a litmus test with a lot of safety nets.
So, by the way, Bob Hazelwood says, I didn't think anyone was allowed to say a good thing about Nick Khan.
$5. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob. Our dad.
Bob is our father, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what we got here. This is from the Champ 2011 off of Twitch. What are the chances that Wyndham debuts at Winter is Coming? Ask Batman.
I mean, that's a great debut, right?
That would be a fantastic debut. Phenomenal.
I'm very intrigued with what he does. Very, very intrigued.
Yes, same here.
Where he goes, what he does, what he looks like.
I think it's going to be awesome. I think he's going to go the opposite of the Fire Fiend gimmick. And if he shows up at Winter's Coming, he's going to show up looking like the Ice King or some shit like that.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
That'd be
like
amazing.
A gnarly Rob Zombie in Frozen?
I'd love that.
A Frozen Rob Zombie?
I'd love a Frozen Rob Zombie. This is from our pal, Vibor Pal. Will John Cena be there at the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I think maybe Mania.
I want to say Rumble just for the tie-in with Peacemaker. Because Peacemaker's coming to HBO Max soon.
Ah, no, but that's a Turner deal.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to show up in AEW. There you go. That's going to be weird when you have those ads with John Cena everywhere on TBS and TNT.
Oh, yeah. This is from Jonathan Risk. That name sounds familiar. What surprises should we expect for the Rumble? Also, Rich is forever my heart, and Andrew is forever my... That got deleted.
Oh, it didn't convert properly.
Oh, was it an eggplant?
Maybe it was an eggplant. I hope it was.
I think it was an eggplant.
I hope it was. I'd be very disappointed.
It was this.
Oh, it was this.
Listen.
I want the eggplant.
Yeah, Andrew wants the eggplant.
Ask me in like 2 weeks about Rumble. Because we're getting close to it, right? And there's already some favors playing. I was going to talk about it today, but I changed my mind.
Okay.
I want to wait on this a little bit. I want to wait another week or so.
We got to get some stuff for Ask Mattman. This is another one from FF Beer Money. Which contracts do you know are coming up based on your knowledge? What happens with Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Kyle O'Reilly, and Io Shirai?
Also, Johnny Gargano.
And Johnny Gargano. Who was called a Paisan by... by Tony D'Angelo.
Did he call Paisan? Yeah. Fantastic. Io Shirai, I think, is fine there. Kyle, I don't know. Listen, I think there's a lot of factors that come into play when someone makes a decision on where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Owens content with his life and his travel and the balance between his family and his kids and everything else and WWE, or does he want to change something? That's what it really comes down to. I think that's a story for everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Got to do what's right for you.
But if you're in your mid-30s or late 30s, you know, and you see that they're releasing everybody in their late 30s to 40s, you're going to get a little nervous.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, that roster got a little old the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, when I say that, we're not talking the same as like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan headlining Starrcade for like the 18th time,
or
headlining a main event, or Piper and Hogan. It's a different level of athlete that you have now. People don't age as quickly as they did. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair winning the world title, WWE title in 1992 at the age of 42 years old tells you everything you need to know.
Right.
AJ Styles winning the WWE title at the age of 40 years old or 41, whatever he was, tells you everything you need to know. Very different level of athlete.
Yeah.
It's, people look different too.
People look different. People work differently. Life on the road, I think there's more precautions now. You know, like people aren't going hard. As hard as they used to.
Listen, we're in 1992. We're in 1993 all over again.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. We got a couple big stars from that past time, but now it's all about young and it's bright and it's 20-year-olds and it's attempting to connect to pop culture a little bit more. If history repeats itself, they're gonna get really dark in a couple of years.
Oh, I hope not.
No, like
spooky dark.
Like no, like violent.
Oh boy!
Like attitude,
like ECW style.
Can you imagine?
I mean, like we're kind of getting that on AEW, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. It's not going as extreme. You know, you're not getting anybody crucified.
Or, no, thank God.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. All right, this one's from. We're gonna take a few more.
Yeah, let's take a couple more.
This is from Scott Yeager. Any news on what sort of AEW TV will be filmed on the next Jericho cruise in March, if any?
I don't know. You know, they were supposed to do the one last year when they canceled due to the pandemic and they decided not to do it this year. I think because maybe they didn't want to take the risk with putting everybody on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So I don't know if March makes them comfortable to do it. I know that that's always been the plan. They like these unique shows and unique venues and places. To have a live Dynamite on a cruise. I mean, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. All right. You ready for the next one? All right. This is from Elvish Spirit. Elvish Spirit. I know this is going to sound crazy, but does anyone know when Cena's contract, what Cena's contract status is? Is it a long-term Legends deal? Is there ever a chance Cena can make an AEW appearance? I was already typing this when you coincidentally joked about Cena in AEW laughing out loud.
I don't know what his contract status is, but I think he's a lifer. Because you can't see it.
Invisible
pen.
He is a lifer, but he's also a very interesting guy in the fact that, like, you know, let's say his contract lapses for, like, 2 weeks, right? And in that 2 weeks, he shows up on Dynamite, and then after that, he goes back to Raw.
I don't think he'll do it.
No?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think he'll pull the trigger?
No.
Interesting. This is from YouTube. Nothing to look here. There are reports of Rock appearing on SmackDown after WrestleMania 38. Is it true? Any predictions on when he shows up?
I have no idea anymore. They changed their plan so many times. They were hopeful for 38. Survivor Series was, I mean, I was the way I was told by this person that's been right about everything that I've said was that it was a done deal. He was showing up, and then as you can see, the whole show was about The Rock. So it was like, you know.
I don't think he's ever going to show up.
You know, like, I would have felt, I'm going to tell you, I would have felt like a real asshole
if
they did nothing about The Rock, right?
Right.
But the fact that this entire pay-per-view was Survivor Series starring The Rock without him being there.
25 years of The Rock, yeah.
It was mind-boggling. So, I don't know, if he's going to show up on Monday after 38, then he should show up at 38.
You know what would have been really cool that he dropped the ball with? The whole dumb egg thing. You know what would have made up for it?
Tell me.
Somebody at Survivor Series comes out with the dumb egg, and then all of a sudden they drop it. Right?
Okay.
And when they drop it, it projects a message from The Rock or a Rock hologram.
Something.
Or anything to do with The Rock. Him going, hey, I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Somebody dropped the egg and I'm here. Like a Princess Leia kind of
something.
Thing.
Something. Okay. They could have done something.
NYC Demon Diva, friend of the show.
Big time, my drinking buddy.
Cena is under contract for the next 3 of his lifetimes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. All right, let's do one more.
All right, let's see. This is from Twitch, Eliza Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that, let me put that up here. Do you believe that 2022 will be a breakout year for the AEW women's division with younger stars like Tay Conti and Chris Statlander, as well as the TBS title coming into the fold? I believe this will allow AEW more flexibility with showcasing the division and hopefully elevating them to that next level.
Yeah, I think they need people that are good on TV before they put them on there. I know that there's a lot of criticism about AEW's lack of having more women's matches, but you have to look at you know, who's prepared to put on long-term matches. They're getting more and more time, which is fantastic. That division has been growing. But at the time that it started, they really didn't have this depth in the roster. But there's a couple of additions they can make now that'll help with that.
Mm.
I want to see Nia there. I think people are freaking nuts. They think I'm crazy when I say that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think they need to add something more to it.
A tag team of Nia and Nyla Rose would be fantastic.
Yeah. Listen, they could do so much. They could do so much over there. I think next year is going to be very telling, though, because it's their first year for AEW where it's going to be, knock on wood, hopefully uninterrupted.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to have this weird pandemic era bullshit happening on TV where, you know, you got a limited audience, you got a big audience in some places. I think now it's time that we're going to be able to really see what that company could do uninterrupted.
Yes.
You know, 2021, when did they start having live people in the building in 2021? You remember when it was? When was that? The first full, what pay-per-view was it? Double or Nothing? Right? That had people in there. Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm very hopeful. Listen, it's still a startup. I think a lot of people, you know, to put so much pressure on AEW and the success that they've had tremendous success, but now it's like they're going to have a full year to do what they want.
Yes.
Which makes a big difference. So either it's going to go great or we're going to start seeing some issues.
Yeah.
You know, which, by the way, I'm not saying that they're going to see issues. I think they're going to do fantastic this year. Yeah. I think it's going to be more growth to the company, which is great for wrestling, and it's good for WWE because it creates more competition and it creates another option where they're going to look at it and say, oh, crap, people are gravitating towards this. We better do something to counter this.
Double or Nothing was the first with crowd in attendance, but they started traveling again in July.
Okay, so yeah. July. Okay, so they really, they were a promotion that was traveling from November to March, and then again from July to now.
Yeah.
They've only, I mean, if you think about it, it's like 6 months.
Pretty crazy.
October, November, let's see, December, January, February, March, so that's 4 months they were on. July, August, September, October, November, December. So, I mean, they haven't even been traveling for a year, which is crazy, right?
Really,
when you think about it.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Also, people want to know, where'd you get that Gabagool sweatshirt?
I don't remember. Everybody wants to know. I would just look up Gabagool, Tony
just
Soprano.
Just look up Gabagool. I feel like somebody gave you that.
Yeah, I forgot where I got it.
I remember I came here one day, and I was like, that's great. And you were like, so-and-so gave it to me.
I can't remember. I cannot remember for the life of me.
Let's see. The Nerd Guru made a statement. With all due respect, bro. Nia, are you serious? Come on, bro.
Yeah.
I added that little bit.
Oh, thank you. I like that. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I'd be cool with that.
Why not?
You know?
Shake things up a little bit.
Listen, gobble, gobble, man.
Gobble, gobble. It's Thanksgiving. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Love each and every one of you. This was a lot of fun. I am going to have to go eat something because I'm going to pass out if I don't eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me at BTC Rich on Twitter, baby.
Okay, at Andrew Zarian. Of course, hey, Sunday, I'm back.
He's back.
Wrestling Observer Live. I'll be on Sunday. I don't know who my co-host is, but either way, maybe I'll do it solo or maybe I'll have a co-host and maybe we'll take phone calls. I'll figure it out. I'll do something Sunday.
Very nice.
All right, guys. See you later.
Later.
Take care.